broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Now, we already know this country is very far down.
Well, Charles, how needs to come first? And that's most important.
I think that's the right thing to do. Yeah, I really honestly do. I think.
I heart boobies.
Things are bad.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch every night. We go through the looking glass and well beyond, taking you places other talk shows can't take you in our search for whatever. TSA isn't backing down on their new pat-down procedure, a ban on I Heart Boobies. You just heard the
I Heart Boobies.
That's what they're banning. These are bracelets, and they support the battle against breast cancer, but I don't know. You know, somebody's got a problem. Anyway, there's one school board that's leading the battle against those. Four Loko is losing the caffeine, folks. You've heard us talking about Four Loko here on the show. We have Professor Emery Clayton coming up to talk about that later on. Do we have Dean Wheeler with us? Yes, we do have Dean Wheeler to talk about the Medal of Honor ceremony today. And what he considers to be the legitimate debate over the wisdom of giving out military medals when we're talking about a war that is so hotly debated. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, WBCN 1660 in Charlotte, North Carolina, and KJZN 105.5 FM in Fresno, California. Two great stations along the Phil Hendry Show network that get it. And our website, philhendryshow.com, that's philhendryshow.com, and that's where you go for live streaming video of our show, live streaming audio of the show right now, the only radio show worthy of being watched, as well as listened to, the Phil Hendry Radio Show. Professor Emery Clayton is going to join us from L.A. Canyon College here in just a moment, but we do have a couple of pieces of business to update you on in advance of that, and they happen to be the Four Loko story, the aspects of the Four Loko story that have been reported lately. The FDA is saying they're going to act against this caffeine and boozed infused energy drink. It's a crazy thing. You've heard the stories of mainly college students drinking too much of this stuff, and then they puke their guts up or they get sick. I don't know what the hell happens to them. But a year ago, attorneys in 18 states, including California attorneys generals, asked the Food and Drug Administration to do something about the proliferation of caffeinated alcoholic beverages, which already were surging in popularity among young people. Now, after several college students have fallen ill and some have died after consuming the beverage, the FDA... I want to know one thing before. When these young people have died, have they attributed the cause of death to Four Loko? Have they attributed, as the cause of their death, this drink? Because that's a very significant piece of information. Joining us on our newsmaker line is Professor Clayton Emery, and Professor Emery Clayton. I'm dyslexic, Professor. And we're going to talk a little bit about this Four Loko drink and the FDA looking to act. They seem poised to act. The New York Times reported on Tuesday the agency is expected to take a stand on the drinks as soon as tomorrow.
That is correct. That was the information that we received prior to my coming on your broadcast this evening, Phil. And there are four states, four attorneys generals here in the United States that have already banned these drinks. Washington State is one. Michigan State is another. Utah and Oklahoma. And the college campuses across this country have banned them or are strongly warning their students about these dangers. Now, I want to point out the company that is involved in this Four Loko drink. This is a company called Fusion Projects of Chicago, Illinois. The company makes this so-called Four Loko. This is the most popular among these caffeinated alcoholic drinks that they make. They claim they are going to voluntarily halt shipments to New York State by Friday.
Well, what they've also said is they're losing the caffeine in the drink.
And let me tell you why they're losing the caffeine in the drink, and let me tell you why they're banning shipments to New York State. Because the federal government has stepped in and has ordered that these drinks be looked at very, very carefully by the Food and Drug Administration. Because had the federal government not done this, we might still be losing our young people out there. They might still be at risk. And for me, this is the most significant aspect to this discussion. When I hear these people talking about how the private sector is being impinged or imposed upon by the government, and I hear these right-wingers saying this all the time.
I didn't really want to have you on the program to talk politics, you know.
Well, there's no other way to talk about this. If you don't want to talk about this, then there's no point in me being on your program. I'm not going to sit here and discuss just the relative safety of college students. Yes, I'm a college professor, and yes, I take very seriously the well-being of our students. But this is an ideologic battle, make no mistake. And it was an ideologic battle, the battle lines of which were drawn by my friends on the right wing, who talk about the freedom of a business and the freedom of an entrepreneur and all of this gobbledygook.
And do you think it's gobbledygook, or do you think that that this is just an irresponsible company that needs to be reined in?
Well, whether it's an irresponsible, there's a debate. There's a debate for you. Who's to say they are an irresponsible company? I think they're irresponsible. I think they're so irresponsible, they should be criminally charged with the deaths of these young people.
And you think this fusion projects?
I think fusion projects in Chicago should be criminally charged. And I think those who are the principals in this company should be held criminally accountable for the deaths of these young people. And here is the federal government doing what the federal government should do, and that's step in and protect consumers who are being taken advantage of by this company. And how is this happening? I'll tell you how it's happening. Under the guise of this entrepreneurship you're talking about, this is a very dangerous time that we're living in, Phil. Very dangerous.
All right, we're talking here with Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College, and we're talking about 4-Loco. This is an energy drink that has alcohol in it, or if you will, it's a caffeinated drink that has alcohol in it, or it's an alcohol drink that has caffeine in it. It depends on how you want to look at this thing. We have all kinds of audio that we wanted to play for you. There are reports that students in drunk driving accidents were under the influence of 4-Loco when they died. There's another was drunk when he accidentally shot himself with a gun, but there's no case that we can find of any type of poisoning due to 4-Loco.
Well, what do you call it when a young man drinks this concoction and accidentally shoots himself? Or what do you call it?
Well, I'm just saying that in the report that I have here, when they say that young people have died, are they saying that the cause of the death was 4-Loco?
I don't know what kind of semantical game you want to play here, Phil.
I'm not playing a semantical game. If you are a coroner, if you're the medical examiner in a city or a county, and you have to put the cause of death on a death certificate, you have to state what killed that person. And
I think it's very clear what killed the young these young people. They were under the influence of this 4-Loco when they blew their brains out, or when they drove an automobile into a wall, or whatever they did.
Well, no, you can't put that down on a medical. You're not going to put it down.
But Mr. Henry, with all due respect, you are not a medical examiner. I am not a medical examiner.
No, you're right. But I do know what a medical examiner does. And I do. It's very important that a medical examiner notes the cause of death so that we're clear. And there's all kinds of, you know, I don't mean to tell you, Professor Clayton, but you obviously know that there's all kinds of civil liability.
I understand better than you do, my young friend, what the civil liability is. These college students can't help but drink irresponsibly. They cannot help but drink irresponsibly when they are presented with 4-Loco or beer or whatnot. That's why we need more of this regulation. And that's why I thank God we have a federal government ready to step in. And if you want to call that an ideologic fight that you don't want to have on your radio program tonight, you be my guest. You have any kind of ideologic fight you want. But I'm telling you...
Well, did you come on my show tonight to get ready to do some battle about government versus private? Is that what you wanted to do?
No, that's what this story's about. that's exactly what this story's about. I didn't come on your program wanting to do anything. You told me to look at this story, and I told you, here's what I get from it. What I get from this story about college students that can't drink responsibly and are drinking themselves to death and are drinking Four Loko or fortified wine, or they're drinking whiskey, or they're drinking tequila, whatever they're drinking, to the point of death. And I'm telling you, there's only one way to stop that, and that's with the very heavy hand of the federal government or the state government. And the reason why you're going to hear this entrepreneurial argument being given is because this Four Loko and this Fusion Projects out of Chicago, these people are the kind of people that are going to tell you in the middle of a recession, why won't you let me have my business? Because you're killing people, that's why.
Well, I will tell you, and I think it's wrong, but I know you're going to say what you're going to say. I understand that Four Loko is a you know, pretty powerful drink, but I don't see anywhere here where anyone has said cause of death, Four Loko.
I just want to make sure. Are you reading the same stories that I'm reading?
I'm reading the stories about Four Loko. Yes, I am. And I'm reading the stories about students getting so hammered on this stuff they get sick. But I don't know, are they getting sick because they're just drinking too much alcohol? Are they getting sick?
They're getting sick, Mr. Henry, because they're drinking too much Four Loko. All right.
Well, I can get sick because I drank too much Don Julio, you know, or Jim Beam.
No, I don't see the point that you're trying to make. The point you're trying to make is that somehow any alcoholic drink is, of course, it's going to make you sick. This stuff, this Four Loko, has got caffeine in it. So that not only is going to make you sick, it's going to put you in your grave.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We have Professor Emery Clayton. And this is, to your way of thinking, Professor, an argument between federal regulation and private entrepreneurial effort. A private company, the Four Loko people, with a brand new product. They're making money in the middle of a recession. And here is Professor Clayton saying we need more federal intervention because it's an unsafe product. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Your call's next with our guest, Emery Clayton. Next hour, Dean Wheeler on the Medal of Honor Award today. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Have you had this Four Loko? Because I've never had it.
On the line is Professor Emery Clayton as we talk about Four Loko. And for you, it's an argument. Four Loko is this caffeinated alcoholic drink which has been causing a great deal of sickness among the young people who've been drinking it. Tell people the comment you made.
I'm not afraid of making the comment, Phil. I'm very happy to make the comment again.
Well, go ahead.
The comment that I made to you during the break was very simply this. When I read about some of these young people dying or getting sick on this Four Loko, I have to smile, and I'll tell you why I smile. And I even went so far as to say to you that when I read about one of them dying, I feel not happy, but I feel good, because this presses home the point that here is this so-called entrepreneur that all these right-wingers love to talk about, and what is he doing? He's poisoning our young people with his Four Loko, with his caffeine. He's poisoning our young people with some concoction that they drink like it's Kool-Aid, if you want to talk about Kool-Aid, and they get so sick they die. I hope people hear about this product. I hope, because the federal government needs to step in and cool this man's jets.
You're not against entrepreneurial.
And one more thing, Phil, before I forget. You talk about getting sick on Don Julio. You talk about getting sick on Jim Beam. You talk about getting sick on beer. This is exactly what I'm talking about. If all of these drinks are causing sickness among our young people, the federal government needs to step in and limit access to these drinks, not only for young people, but I think for anyone.
People are going to get sick on tequila if they don't know how to drink it.
Well, who's going to judge on whether they know how to drink it or not? You know,
I drink tequila, I don't get sick.
Good for you, Mr. Henry. That's wonderful. And I'm sure that's a badge of honor that you wear and wear proudly?
No, I do not. What I'm telling you is it is a dangerous drink for some, not all. That's all I'm trying to say.
It is a dangerous drink for all. You drink enough tequila, you trying to tell me you don't get sick?
I'm not saying that.
The Republicans who are against government regulation have the blood on their hands of every college student who dies after drinking Four Loko and beer and the whatnot that they are out there swilling back on a Friday night.
I'm not saying that. 877-876-PHIL and Professor Emery Clayton and I talking about Four Loko. Here is Jessica in Abilene, Texas. Go ahead, Jessica. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of really ridiculous to hear somebody who's supposed to be an educated man not be able to decipher between the difference of an alcohol drink causing death and the impact of a car or a gun causing death. Like, I'm not saying that the drink may not have had an influence on that.
Are you telling me that you don't think people can be poisoned? You're telling me people can't be poisoned by a drink?
People can be poisoned, but then
right.
It would be the drink as the cause of being poisoned, but they weren't poisoned
exactly.
And had some kind of anaphylactic shock and then ran into a wall.
How do you know they weren't poisoned? How do you know they weren't poisoned?
You don't know that they weren't poisoned
because they had caffeine. They had alcohol and caffeine combined in their system, which might have caused a reaction in terms of blood pressure and heart rate and all this other nonsense that made their brains blow up in their skull or something. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But how do we know until we do further testing?
Well, that's what I think Phil Hendry is trying to explain, is that in medical coroner's report, it's not going to say the cause of death was drinking
Four
this Loko. Drink. The cause of death was running their car off the road, which was influenced by the drink, but the drink itself was not the underlining cause of death. There's a dichotomy.
I still don't understand why you know that. And they're not going to write that down on a death certificate. Cause of death was car going off the cliff, but it wasn't Four Loko, even though they had drunk Four Loko. They don't have enough space.
Scrambling, and that's fine.
No, they don't. That's what you were doing. They don't have enough space in a death certificate to write down cause of death Four Loko.
She's not saying write all that down. She's saying, if you want to know what the cause of death is, and thank you very much, Jessica, 877-876-PHIL, you have to find out and then put it on the death certificate. That's what a medical examiner has got to do.
All right. I already know all about medical examiners. You told me all about a medical examiner. I'm asking you. You're telling me Four Loko didn't do anything. You're telling me that Four Loko had nothing to do with a perfectly normal young man taking a gun and shooting himself. And he didn't try to kill himself. You understand that this young man was so polluted and poisoned by Four Loko, he didn't try to kill himself. He shot himself just for the thrill of having a bullet tear into his flesh. You call that normal?
I don't know if that's why he did that.
Oh, come on, Phil. You don't. You guys, I love you people. You don't like the government regulation, but man, you should put the regulation in the conversation when it helps you.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I know the young man shot himself, but it said accidentally. Jay on Staten Island, listening on WWRL. Go ahead, Jay, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I believe that Dr. Clayton is loco himself because caffeine is a stimulant and alcohol is depressant. So you're mixing two different entities together. And, well, what's the cause of death? I mean, like the woman said, I mean, you cannot say people need help. More federal regulation is not going to... No, stop interrupting me. More federal regulation is not going to stop people from hurting themselves. Prohibition did not work, okay?
Are you kidding me or something? Are you trying to tell me that highly dangerous drink, like Four Loko, we should just go ahead and give that away like we're giving away a Pez dispenser or something like that? No,
yes,
no,
like,
no.
Like alcohol is legal... Cigarettes are legal. Gambling is legal. If people want to hurt themselves, they're going to hurt themselves. You cannot stop people from...
Are you a father? Are you a father? Do you have children? Are you really going to... What are you going to say to the man that comes up to you and says, we just found your son dead at the bottom of a cliff because of this Four Loko? And you're going to say to me, but, you know, that's tough because people are going to kill themselves?
Also, drink the Ford Loco or drinking Jack Daniels or a case of beer?
What if they found your son with four Four Loco empties laying around him? Yeah.
Well, what difference is the gentleman saying? What difference does it make? He was drinking and driving. He shouldn't have been drinking and driving.
He shouldn't have been drinking and driving, but he should also not have been drinking and driving and pumping himself full of that speed. You know that, caffeine.
All right, Emery Clayton and I back next on the Phil Hendry Show with more 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
All that crank that they put in that drink.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com as well. If you want to watch live streaming video and listen to live streaming audio of the show, we have Professor Emery Clayton on the line with us from L.A. Canyon College. And we talk tonight about Four Loko, this alcohol caffeine drink that has caused a number of illnesses. It's caused a number of young people to be taken to the hospital. There were two events reported, one having to do with an accidental shooting. It wasn't of anyone. It was of the person who was drunk on this Four Loko. And I believe there's one other automobile accident. And Professor Clayton, this is what I'm talking about. We're going to get to some phone calls. The legislation of morality, you can see there's quite a few of my callers want to talk about that.
Let me explain to you. You say you can't legislate morality. I've got news for you. We have laws against killing people. Is that legislating morality?
I mean, every single...
We have laws against stealing. Is that legislating morality? We've got laws against... You understand what I'm saying?
Well, not every single act, all right?
Not every single act. Let me explain something to you about this Four Loko, because I know what I'm talking about when I say the government needs to step in wherever these young people are ODing on this, on these drinks, whether it's tequila or Four Loko or beer or malt, I don't care what it is. Thank God the federal government can step in and step on some of these right-wingers and some of these mayo dippers that, and I say that with all due respect.
What do you mean mayo dipper?
Well, you know that I'm talking in about the white business establishment, but let me explain to you. I had my quarterly student meetings, and I met with one young student of mine. She was a young mayo dipper. She's a young white lady, and she was in there to get her grade on a mass media project we'd done. Now, I had two of these Four Lokos. And
why did you have that before you were having these conferences?
Because I wanted to see how I would react. And I made a play. This is a young woman, one of my students. I would never in a million years ever misbehave or do anything out of line. Especially, and you know my feelings, Phil, on respecting the black woman. And here comes a young little mayo dipper that says... And I got out of line with her. I tried to make a play. And the reason is because I had in my system Four Loko. And I ask you this question. Of all of these stories we're hearing about, what's the one constant? Kid drives a car off a cliff. Kid shoots himself by mistake. Another kid throws up all over himself. Another kid pukes his guts out on a bus. Wherever they are, what's the one constant? I'll tell you what it is. Ready? One, two, three, go. Four Loko. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Your story about your student saying that you made a play for her, and the I don't like the words mayo dipper, you know?
I'm saying it's a colloquial for white people, that's all.
And it doesn't have anything to do with this, what you're telling me, though. It has nothing to do with you saying you drank Four Loko before you had this conference and then made a play for her, you know?
I made a play. It was to prove that Four Loko is not a safe drink for a professor or a teacher or anyone in responsibility to drink before they're going to interact with a young person, because I drank that Four Loko and I went for it. And I never should have.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Roseanne. Go ahead, Roseanne. You're on with Professor Emery Clayton.
Yes, sir. During one of your breaks before your microphone was cut off, you said that you had never tried this drink. So in order to come back now and say that you did this using derogatory terms like right-winger and Mayo Dipper, I come from the Deep South and was taught not to have prejudice, taught to have respect. So in some respect, sir, what you're trying to say is that your morals should be legislated because you should not have done that against that girl, and she could bring charges against you. As a former professor and teacher, you were way out of line. And she could bring those kind of charges against you. And you are trying to blame it on a drink, sir, not your own classic morals.
All right. Well, let's. What do you say to that, Professor? It's a good point.
What I'm trying to say to this lady is, because she don't get it, it was Four Loko that made me do that. What's the one constant
in all of these stories? Your own lust.
If a guy drives a car off,
and if that young lady had any ability, to
my blood that had Four Loko in it,
you would not
it had
be
Four
on
Loko
the
in it.
Program right now, sir.
How come she didn't charge
Either
me?
You are
a
man of morals.
How come she didn't charge me? How come she didn't charge me?
You won't let me talk.
No,
you don't even have the respect that a gentleman would have for a lady.
I do have the respect a gentleman would have for a lady. What's that got to do with you?
Okay, that's uncalled for.
What?
That was uncalled for.
That was very interesting.
Oh, give me a break. I was clowning. I was clowning.
No, sir, you weren't clowning. Have you had something
to drink? I was clowning around. I beg pardon? No, I have not. I was telling the story.
Something is wrong with your morals. And something is wrong with your upbringing, and it would be very interesting to have a conversation with your mother as far as where are you?
Now I get it. Now I get it. I'm uppity. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, sir.
Uppity?
I didn't say you were uppity.
Yes, you are.
You were calling me uppity.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. You're calling me uppity.
You cannot debate, sir, on the facts.
Because
you have to dip down
man.
And pick up the mud and throw it. And, sir, that is a very interesting thing for you to say.
I think it's very interesting for you to say you were raised in the South and that you have been taught not to have no prejudice. The South is where prejudice was born in America.
All right, let's not get into a whole argument here. Let's not get into a...
I told this lady, she said she was raised without prejudice. She was raised in the South. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
I don't want to get into an argument like this. I don't want to start talking regionalism and, you know, you're from here and that's why you're like this. I'm not going to talk about that because there's prejudice all through this country and there are good people. And I'm not going to do this, Professor Clayton. And I think it is arcane and it's stupid to do that, okay? If you want to talk about prejudice, we're going to put it on an equal footing. But we're not even talking about this here. We're talking about the intelligence, or lack thereof, of drinking this Four Loko, and to wit, you drinking it because you said you wanted to see what it would do before you had a student conference.
That's exactly what I said. And this lady here wants to turn it into some kind of a grope festival. I didn't do anything like that. All I said was I drank the Four Loko to see if I'd make a play for this girl, and I did. I asked her out for drinks, and I'm married, and I love my wife. I love her dearly. I would never do anything like that if I was not under the influence of Four Loko. Now, that's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, sir, it's an alcoholic beverage. As an alcoholic beverage, you chose as a professor to have alcohol before you met with a student in a conference. That is reprehensible.
It's got caffeine in it. That's the difference.
No,
it
sir,
also
it's
has
the alcohol,
caffeine in
it. It is the alcohol that you responded to. And that's
but the
problem.
The caffeine
with
should
your
have
premise.
Sobered me up. And the
you
caffeine should
have
sobered me up
premise.
Enough.
Not you
to
have a faulty
actually put my
premise.
Hand there.
Well, what,
you
can I ask a question?
You have a faulty premise that
no,
you are
ma'am,
saying
that
it was the caffeine
premise.
In the drink and not the alcohol.
Exactly.
And
that's
you're not even willing to say that you violated that young lady's rights. You violated
the young lady's rights
as a professor.
No, because the caffeine kept me from violating her rights. But it also, it was the booze that made me want to do it.
You did well, not
wait, 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 wait.
No, ma'am, I'm saying
exactly
that when I drank the Four Loko...
You are wanting the government to legislate your judgment in children, in kids, and they would need to legislate that same for you, sir. Yet,
ma'am,
you are of
you
age
young
and
people,
should know better.
Young people should have their morality legislated because they're too young. They don't understand. We've got kids running around out there drinking Four Loko, and they're going
well,
to they're gonna
do,
stick their head through a window,
to
whatever.
You have to talk to the parents. You have
exactly.
To
and
to
as
parents.
Far as your...
But you don't understand. I drank the Four Loko. The booze made me want to put my hand under the girl's skirt. But the caffeine kept me from pulling her panties down. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mr. Henry,
so
is this...
That's why...
Good God. Good God. Are you serious?
Am I serious about what, sir?
Are you serious about going into a student conference having drunk Four Loko just to see what you would do? Don't you think that puts students at risk?
I know myself well enough to know that I'm not going to harm anyone.
Well, you got your hand up under somebody's dress.
Wait, people, man.
All right, anyway, thank you very much, Roseanne. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on here to Alan in Virginia. Alan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'd like to respond to a couple of these comments. The first being, as far as I am a father, as well as a police officer in a college town, so I see Four Loko about every weekend. And
he said you're a college clown? What did he say, clown?
He's in a college town.
Yeah, James Madison University. So
all
they
right.
party a lot. And I understand that with Four Loko, I don't think legislation is going to change anything. I would believe in more education, educate the students as far as what they're drinking. As far as the equivalent of approximately about four beers, along with the caffeine of a Red Bull. And so instead of, normally when they drink alcohol and they fall asleep and pass out, they drink Four Loko, and the caffeine enables them to stay awake and drink more. And a lot of them don't understand.
I can tell you, I think that what we should do is the following thing. We need more federal intervention in keeping these kids from drinking this stuff till we know what it can do. We have no idea. We know that this has alcohol, caffeine. There's a fruit punch mixture. I had the fruit punch here. The one that I had was the caffeine and flavored fruit punch. You can't educate people on Four Loko because it's in the college student DNA to overdrink. You know that as well as I do, sir. You're a police officer. You know these young people. Their DNA, they are chemically, it's impossible for a young person to drink booze and not drink it until they vomit blood. Now,
then they're just going to play drinking games with vodka.
But you don't let them play those drinking games. That's what I'm talking about.
There's no way we can stop them. You can't
game.
Stop them from playing drinking games.
Yes, you can. If they're in a dorm and you hear them through the door, you know, you
it's
bust the door down if you have to.
What do you mean, to hear them through the door?
Officers respond. If you have people saying, I can hear people playing a drinking game, you have police officers respond, and I say you batter the door down if you have to, and get them to stop.
That's a violation.
So you're going to have the police.
Not if it's against the law to play a drinking game. You have the right to go in because you suspect a felony is being committed. And
are you going to make a drinking game a felony, and you're going to have the police respond to drinking games by battering down the door and then what, arresting everyone?
You can issue them a warning and say you cannot engage in this activity because your kids, your young punks, and you don't know how to drink good. That's what I would do.
The real problem with this country is a lack of self-control, a lack of parenting. That's exactly what's wrong with it.
We don't have enough laws. We need more laws.
All right, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. We need more laws to do what? So you would have police officers.
I think I explained it very well, Phil. And don't tell me that what I'm hearing these people say is the following thing. You know, Phil, there are some very evil and wicked things out there that are killing our children, but guess what? We can't do anything about it. Well, I'm here to tell you, I don't know about anybody else, but if I had children that were at risk, I would go through hell. I would go through the very furnace of hell, and I would beat the devil down with my fists on my way through hell to get to my children if they were at risk. And if my children were on the other side of hell, and I got to the other side of hell, and then I was told that they had gone back to the front gate of hell, I'd go back through hell. So understand what I'm doing?
No, I understand. You've gone through hell, now you're turning around and going back through hell to get to your kids.
I'm not fooling around here. I'm talking about saving the lives of my children. I would take the devil apart brick by brick nail by nail.
All right, Professor Emery Clayton with us for another segment on Four Loko and how the entrepreneurial efforts of this company, Fusion Projects, should be stepped on by federal law because it's Four Loko killing young people. And he's a big believer in federal intervention there. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You understand what I said? If I go to the other side of hell and my kids have gone back to the...
I understand, yeah.
Then I go back.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I've got a couple of files in my car that I wanted to come over and get. I've left the classroom, but I've got two files in my car that I'm going to look at. One of these notes that I made after I'd had two cans of this Four Loko, and I'd sat down with two of my female students, I call them mayo dip, I meant white stin. When I drank that Four Loko, I could feel what happens to these kids. They feel like they're Superman. They feel like they can do anything, go anywhere, walk on water. You feel almost godlike. Now tell me if that isn't the most dangerous thing you've ever heard of in your life.
Well, but that may well be, Professor, but you're an adult, and for you to drink that and then behave the way you did, I'm shocked. You cannot be an adult in the presence of younger people, especially students, and act that way.
I'm telling you, Phil, this Four Loko makes you feel like you are the sun, if not God himself.
All right, Shelley, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Hi, yes. And actually, just to put on the point that you said, Phil, you obviously aren't in a position to make a judgment whether young people can make a decision on how they act because you yourself were drunk. Whether it was the Loko or not, you were drunk when dealing with students. And also, in the
I was on Four Loko. I wasn't drunk. I was on Four Loko. The Four Loko is different from drunk. It is a godlike feeling, is what I'm saying.
Well, that's probably an ego issue and not an alcohol issue. Because there are other beverages that you can mix, and you can find them in any bar where it has energy drinks and vodka, rum, or different things of that nature. You have an issue in your choices. We all have choices, and we make those choices. We make bad choices, and you made a very bad choice because you were drunk when dealing with students.
I have said this a couple times. I'm sorry the lady can't hear too good. I said I did it so that I could have the experience. And once I was under the influence of the Four Loko,
you were dealing with
no
students.
Right,
so
right. Well, didn't that bother you that you knew you were going to be dealing with a student?
I knew I was going to be dealing with a student, and the students are the ones that drink the Four Loko, so I felt that this was the best. Let me explain something, if I could. Women are the ones that invented this, Phil. It was women in the bars of America that started mixing vodka with Red Bull. Men didn't do it. Women did. So once again, what we have here are men following the lead of Eve as she takes a bite out of that Four Loko apple, and the rest of us go to hell and back, and I'm being blamed. And
you said you were in an office with a female student, and you made a play for her. Are you blaming the women of America for that?
I'm saying it was the women of America that started fooling around with it. That's all I'm saying. Is the lady there? Is the caller there?
So that they could actually reach into bars, and it was actually a marketing campaign and a marketing ploy. So you're completely ignorant in that fact. The other thing is you as an adult, as a grown adult with a supposed PhD, made a choice prior to dealing with a student so that you could either feel good or have an excuse to violate a student's right. You as an adult made that choice. You have no right to say whether a young person has the ability to make that decision because obviously you yourself do not have that ability.
No, wait a minute. You just said that I drank that Four Loko, so I would violate. No, ma'am, no, ma'am, no, ma'am. I drank that Four Loko.
So that you can have an excuse to violate someone.
No, absolutely not. I drank that Four Loko as an experiment to see if it was true.
Why did you do an experiment with your wife? You said you're very happily married. Well, why didn't you experiment with your wife to see if it was going to make you frisky? Why did you choose a student?
Because I don't have the immediate attention.
Because you couldn't get your name on it and you couldn't get the media attention? And it's because you couldn't stick your hand up a young girl's skirt? It would have been your wife's instead?
You know, miss, you won't let me get a word in edgewise. I had no control over myself. If I drank it around my own wife, what do you think would happen then? I'm so in love with my wife that she might
Well, then, you know what? Maybe it might make you a little bit frisky and you might enjoy it a little bit more. She might enjoy it.
No, because she would never have gotten to work. Our children would starve. And
oh, come on, man. You're making all kinds of excuses here, you know?
I'm telling you, Phil, that when you drink Four Loko, you feel like God. That is a dangerous drug. Now, this lady, everything she's saying is right. I should have done a lot of things. How did I know that I'd feel God-like?
Well, what did you do, drop acid? I mean, this stuff is a drink.
That's how dangerous it is.
You felt godlike.
Yes. God.
That's an ego problem.
All right.
Well, the lady says it's an ego problem because she thinks I got manic depression. I know what she's talking about. She thinks I'm spinning off like I've got mania. No, ma'am. No, this was something I'd never felt before. I drank this, and I had the sense that I could do anything, that I could tear metal in half.
Well, if that's how you feel on a Four Loko, yeah, that stuff ought to be banned.
That's what I'm saying. How many times I got to say it?
All right, Shelley, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Kevin. Kevin in, we have to break? Oh, we have to break is right. Well, guys, thank you. Professor Clayton, you will be keeping us up to date?
Keeping you up to date on what? You've been talking to me like I had my hand.
You keep me up to date on how about this, whether you stay out of jail or not.
Am I going to go to jail for feeling like God?
I don't believe you.
Well, here's the thing. Have you ever had Four Loko?
No.
Then you don't know what you're talking about.
Dean Wheeler's still to come here on the Phil Henry Show about the Medal of Honor. What I'm saying...
No, you listen to me. When you drink Four Loko, you feel like you are golem.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Beatrice got in the vehicle right after school and told me it was probably the worst.
I started taping it around 11 o'clock because I thought I'm actually not going to live.
I know heroes. I've met heroes. I've met some of the bravest people.
We've been sure to, inform them of the danger of it.
A great myth spread over the lawn.
Good day.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're on the air every night until...
A red mist spread over the lawn.
4 a.m. on the East Coast, 1 a.m. on the West Coast. Number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. We continue this hour with Professor Emery Clayton. We're going to be talking... with him about this Four Loko. You've probably heard about it. If you haven't, you probably should have, because it's a drink, one of the new energy drinks that we often hear about, or if you want, one of the new alcohol drinks that we often hear about, except this is a combination of both. It's alcohol and caffeine. Professor Clayton made reference to Red Bull and vodka, which was pretty much how a lot of this started. People just started mixing these drinks themselves or ordering them in bars. And now we have this Four Loko. Well, the problem is Four Loko has caused all manner of mayhem out there. At least people think it has. They're blaming Four Loko for the deaths of people, for the overdosing, for the visits to the hospital, for people throwing their guts up. Who knows? Stay with us to discuss this with Professor Emery Clayton at 877-876-PHIL and also online at philhenryshow.com, where you can take a look at our live streaming video and listen to our live streaming audio right now, and also download hours and hours and hours and hours of archive material or listen to it streaming and a whole lot more at philhenryshow.com. Now, here is one story that I think is interesting. We'll get Professor Clayton back on the line with us to discuss this is a lawsuit, and there's a bunch of Four Loko stories here, Professor Clayton. Are you familiar with this?
Yes, I am, and I want to comment on that.
All right. I want to tell my audience, a Florida family is suing the makers of Four Loko in connection with their son's death. Now, this is Joe and Vicky Kieran. Joe and Vicky Kieran, and they say that their 20-year-old son, Jason, became intoxicated and wired after drinking at least 3 cans of the energy drink Four Loko, the alcohol equivalent of approximately 15 beers and 6 cups of coffee. 3 cans of the energy drink. Now, we found out that one Four Loko has 13% alcohol. Now, a bottle of wine has 13% alcohol. So if you're drinking three cans of Four Loko, as I understand it, you are drinking the equivalent of 3 bottles of wine. Why don't you feel it? Because according to the detractors, the 6 cups of coffee worth of caffeine is what keeps you wide awake. Each fruit punch-flavored 23.5-ounce can has about 2.82 ounces of alcohol and about 156 milligrams of caffeine. The Kierans believe the drink caused Jason to become... What does that come out to, by the way, guys? Do the math for me, all right? Let's make 3 ounces to 23... Call it 24. 3 ounces to 24. The Kierans believe the drink caused Jason to become so manic and erratic that he accidentally shot himself. The family's attorney, Don Van Dingeman, says the Florida State sophomore picked up a friend's gun after partying with his roommates for 30 hours straight on September the 17th. Professor?
It is a absolutely tragic story. It is an abomination for some company. And I can't believe, and I have talked on your radio program here this evening, Phil, for the last hour, and I cannot believe how some people want to protect the so-called entrepreneur or the so-called businessman, even at the expense of the lives of our young people. Now, you have here a family that is suing because their young man picked up a gun and killed himself. And I am telling you, Phil...
But how do we know that that young man didn't already have some emotional...
Oh, hold on for just a minute. I want to finish what I'm saying, and we can get into the emotional questions. And there is one thing, and I said this to you last hour, Phil. I'll say it to your listeners tonight. There's one thing that's in common here. One thing that is the commonality in all of these stories, and that one thing is Four Loko. I can talk about landing on the moon. I can talk about growing a tail. I can talk about bringing back the dead. I can talk about a tsunami. I can talk about breathing underwater. But if I put Four Loko in all those instances, there's one thing that's the commonality, and that's Four Loko, and I got to look at Four Loko as the reason why I'm breathing underwater, growing a tail. It doesn't make any sense if I don't. Now, having read the story that you read, and then I'll let you say what you want to say, Phil, but having read what you just read, I have to say that I am going to look into retaining counsel and filing a lawsuit against the young lady as well as Four Loko, because I have had my reputation has been besmirched, and that's an old-time word, Phil. And
you're going to sue the woman that you sexually harassed.
I did not sexually harass any woman. I had drunk Four Loko as an experiment to see what the reaction was. I wanted to know what it was doing to my students. And the result was something I did not anticipate at all. It gave me the feeling of being almost like God. And
you don't think that there was a mania going? You know how people who are manic depressive?
I'm not manic depressive. I don't have a mental illness. Four Loko is what did it.
Four Loko made you feel like God. That's a super feeling. And I'm asking, isn't it possible that there is a mania involved here?
You're just letting you, Mr. Hendry, forgive me, Phil, because I don't have to sit and be insulted. You're just like that lady last hour said that she thinks that I'm mental. She thinks I have a mental disease. And
I'm not saying that at all, okay? I'm saying that the possibility that you say you feel godlike...
I'm telling you what Four Loko does. I'm telling you what Four Loko did to me and what it does to these students. No wonder that young man picked up a gun. He probably thought he could survive a shotgun blast to the head.
Oh, I don't know that that's the case at all.
Well, did this young man not pick up a gun?
I don't know, but I don't want to begin to attribute necessarily the feelings he had, other than to say that his parents agree with you. They're suing Four Loko. 877-876-PHIL. Why don't we go back to the gentleman that we had on the line here at last hour. Kevin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Fine.
I'm giving a call in here because I'm listening to this nonsense on the radio. And, you know, you keep calling this guy Professor Emery Clayton. I think somebody,
yes,
first,
sir,
of all should check his credentials, because he's obviously got some type of mail order degree. I don't believe the guy's educated. He makes great radio, and he's obviously trying
isn't
to push
that
buttons.
Funny?
He's trying. He's obviously trying to push buttons.
I happen to be a professor of. I'm a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. That's easy enough to look up. Are you at a computer right now?
I'm not at a computer right now, but I'm still listening to you. And I'm glad I didn't go to that college, but you blame me for
Loco. I'm glad you didn't go to that college, too. I agree with you.
Well, listen, you blame me for a Loco. How about the alcohol content in the product? Maybe it's just the alcohol. It's not the caffeine. You said it's like the speed.
It's got caffeine in it. It has a deadly combination of elements, alcohol and caffeine. Put those two together, and you have a problem there.
Okay, well, listen, you're educated. There's a drug on the market called Apex. It's used to speed up the metabolism. It's an amphetamine. It's used to lose weight, and it's on the market. It's made from the old phone.
Not over the counter, it's not. Not over the counter, it's not.
What I'm getting to is I take that product. When I take that product, guess what? It doesn't cause me to lose control. It doesn't make me do crazy things, you know? So let's take accountability.
What's that got to do with a drug you can buy in a liquor store?
Let's admit the alcohol.
Your comparison and your analogy was up, as the kids say, up the butt. It doesn't have any validity.
Okay.
I take a prescription drug, and let me compare that now to something you buy in a liquor store. I'm sorry.
You're saying it's like speed, and I'm comparing it to speed.
That's it. It's like a speed. Yeah, but all of a sudden you respect my degree. Is that it? I thought you said I got it from a mail order catalog. Why are you quoting me? I'm running circles around you, son.
Needs to get educated, and it should change his name to Islogo.
The so-called caller needs to get educated and should do something else with his Tuesday night.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your call.
No Mayo Dipper going to call up this show and start talking to me about...
And I don't like the Mayo Dipper thing, okay?
You're telling me he doesn't dip mayo?
I'm telling you I don't like that whole reference, if you don't mind. 877-877-877-876-PHIL. We're going to take a break here as we have Professor Emery Clayton on the line with us. Four Loko lawsuit. Parents are claiming the energy drink made their son so erratic and manic he accidentally shot himself. So Professor Clayton is saying, obviously, in the minds of these parents and in his mind, the federal government needs to step in and begin to step on, if you will, the manufacturers of this drink, Four Loko. It's the feds versus the entrepreneurs here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, would love to do to him.
Welcome back here. Our number 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking tonight to Professor Emery Clayton about the Four Loko controversy. If you've heard of this alcohol and energy drink, you know the controversy surrounding what its effects are. There are a lot of college students that drink it and a lot of college students that have been hospitalized or otherwise they have been negatively affected. There is a lawsuit that has been filed by at least one family in Florida. This couple filing on behalf of a son that they say was killed. This young man shot himself after drinking three cans of this Four Loko. And Professor Emery Clayton joins us from L.A. Canyon College. You very much endorse this, and you feel you have a lawsuit as well, sir.
Yes, as I said to you, Phil, in the last segment, the young lady, when I drank that can of Four Loko,
And I drank one can at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I did it because I wanted to see the effects that it would have on me as it was having effect on my students. I did not know, nor was I prepared, for the effect of the Four Loko on me. That's when I sat down to do this teacher-student conference that I had with one of my students that afternoon. The effect on me was a hyper-consciousness and a hyper-vigilance, along with the euphoria of alcohol, to the extent that I felt almost superhuman. And that's when I made that play for the young lady, and I'm sorry I did that, but I will sue Four Loko, and I'll sue the young lady involved if someone is so bold as to say that I have the low morals. I do not.
And well, you said...
Let me tell you one thing, Phil.
No, you said that you did this, and it was not your doing. It was the Four Loko.
Let me tell you one thing. I went to college, but before I went to college, I spent some time in a very unusual place, Algiers, Northern Africa. Do you know why? Because I was in something called the French Foreign Legion. Not too many people are aware of the French Foreign Legion. They've heard of it, but they don't know too many people that have been in the French Foreign Legion. I've been in the French Foreign Legion. And I can tell you, my friend, if you can take what the French Foreign Legion has to dish out, and I took it, don't tell me I don't know how to handle Four Loko.
Well, by your own admission, you didn't.
Not to the point where, yeah, the Four Loko did it to me. But I was fine.
But you didn't handle the Four Loko.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm fine. I was all right. The Four Loko wasn't okay. I'm fine. I was in the French Foreign Legion, is what I'm trying to tell you.
I don't know what that's got to do with anything. If you drank the Four Loko and you behaved a certain way, I don't know how you can say you were fine. Here is Marianne in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, listening on WZTK. Go ahead, Marianne.
Yes. I definitely feel that alcohol mixed with caffeine is probably not a good idea. And I have listened to the conversation for the last hour. I'm a little bit put out by the professor and the capability that he has as a professional, and I consider myself a professional, having allowed himself to have any type of alcohol prior to meeting with any student. That is unprofessional. No matter whether it was any type of alcohol drink, that should never have taken place in a professional setting. Wouldn't matter what kind of reaction he had to it.
You know that I was in the French Foreign Legion. And the reason why I bring that up is because those of us who are legionnaires have a pretty big ego. We think we can handle anything. It's not unusual.
That doesn't matter. This was a professional setting that you had as a professional with a student, a college student that you're paid to go to, not with
right.
alcohol. I'm sure of that because my daughter in college at the University of North Carolina would never have had a professor that would have met with her who has ever had a drink.
Well, you don't know that's the case.
I'm not saying I don't know that, but I am saying
right.
You would never jeopardize your job as a professional because that young student that you did handle unprofessionally is at
right.
a disadvantage, and you jeopardized your position,
understand.
I believe.
I don't understand what you just said. You were saying it good, and then you...
She's saying, why would you drink alcohol?
I drank a Four Loko. There is alcohol.
Well, it does have alcohol in it, correct. And you're
and caffeine.
Saying
and
caffeine.
But you're leaving out the caffeine.
With it.
You're leaving out the caffeine. See?
Well, that's exactly right. Even without caffeine, the two together may in fact be worse, like you said. But you should never have put yourself in that situation. You can
that's
do it at
point.
Home and see how it affects you. When you're sitting
that's
at home looking at your scrapbooks about the world and what you did, you know, wherever you were in the service, but not in not
I don't, no, I don't,
my
I was in the
tax money.
I was in the French Foreign Legion.
Money.
I was in the French Foreign Legion. I can tell you that didn't cost you a dime. That cost France.
Well, no, but I don't
that's
care
number
what
one.
It did or didn't.
You're not talking about the French Foreign Legion.
I was using an analogy. You can look at your scrapbooks and talk about
you
it. But when you're with my daughter, who's the same age on
daughter,
a college campus, no, that is
right.
that is not professional at any level.
But if you say to me, see, here's the point that you're missing. If I would have had
And I think they say this is the equivalent of how many ounces of, all right, a bottle of wine. If I had drunk a bottle of wine and sat down with your daughter to discuss her grades, I would have been fine. She would have gone home that weekend and said to you, Mama, Professor Clayton is the nicest man. He's wonderful. But because
that's
I had
not,
four
you're
local...
You're missing the issue. That is not
No,
the
you're
issue.
Missing the issue.
Alcohol
I could have had two bottles of wine. Nope, you're wrong. Because I could drink...
How do you know if you drank wine?
I can drink a bottle of Sneaky Pete. Are you kidding?
What do you mean, Sneaky Pete?
That's not going to make me act the fool. I told you,
I'm
the Four
saying,
Loko did.
Professional.
I was in
I'm
the... You know the booze we drank in the French Foreign Legion?
Well, you, sir, with all due respect to the French Foreign Legion...
We're talking Foreign Legion here. We're talking on campus as a paid professional from your university. That's what I'm talking here.
Ma'am, you just said as a prepaid professional? I didn't hear what you said.
As a paid professional.
You are.
I heard her say prepaid.
As a professor.
You said I was
as
prepaid.
A professor.
Well, you said prepaid professor.
I mean,
and
I'm a pharmacist. I would never. I'm a pharmacist. I would never go to work having had any kind of alcohol in my system. Never.
Well, don't make me want to eat my flat hat because you know something? You're a pharmacist. You are engaged handing out drugs that will make people squawk like a chicken all day long. And you're telling me that I can't have a Four Loko experimentally.
All right, I think the lady's made her point. I thank you very, very much, Marianne. 877-876-PHIL. We don't have to get into her being a pharmacist.
Wait, hold on for a minute. The lady said she's a pharmacist. She hands out drugs every day that can make people, make a man think that he's a Wolverine. And yet, they look at me as if there's something wrong with me. Now,
why would you drink, and you've never answered this question, why did you drink that Four Loko before you went into that session with that student?
Because, Phil, I knew that my students had been drinking this stuff on the weekends. I wanted to know its effects. I know that I can drink alcohol because I was in the French Foreign Legion. That's what I was trying to say to you.
And somehow your membership in the French Foreign Legion means what?
I can tell you one thing. We'd be drinking ourselves some booze in the French Foreign Legion, friend. And nobody drink us under the table. That's number one. Number two, I realized then the issue had to be caffeine. And I was right. Because when I drank the Four Loko and sat down with this young lady, I'll give you her first name was Cheryl, I felt, and I will tell you, she was very lovely. And when she walked in and she sat down and I saw she was wearing a skirt, and she was very beautiful, I felt godlike when I saw, how do I put it? When I saw, all right, I'll say it. When I saw she had very lovely legs, and I felt almost like God. I can't even say, I didn't feel like God, I felt like Christ.
You know, the more you talk...
Well, sir...
No, the more you talk, we'll be back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
We'd be drinking some booze in a Foreign Legion.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. This evening we are talking about Four Loko. This is this alcohol and caffeine drink that has so injured a great many young people. Are they injured because of their own irresponsible drinking? Are they injured because the actual product itself is dangerous? Are they injured for a combination of problems having maybe to do with alcoholism? I tend to think that it's their irresponsible drinking, but Professor Clayton is here saying that it is the drink itself. Professor Clayton, you're also considering a lawsuit similar to this one. There's these parents in Florida.
Well, I think that family has the right idea, Phil, and I say this. When you mentioned the family, that young boy who accidentally shot him, they say accidentally shot himself. I find that to be fascinating. Fascinating terminology, the accidentally. I'm sure that the Four Loko people... would love it, you know, to be accidental. Because I can tell you, in my feeling and experience, I believe that this young man drank the Four Loko, and in some way, and I'm not saying that even the people that manufactured this drink understood, but in some way was directed by the drink.
or otherwise compelled by the Four Loko to pick that gun up and blow his brains out.
And what do you mean directed by the drink?
I think there was something in the biochemical reactions of that drink that would direct or otherwise encourage the young man. I told you, when I drank the Four Loko myself, and I very much love my wife, and yet I drank that Four Loko, and I felt a sense of power over all that I saw for the first time in my life. Does that sound like a normal alcohol drink? No, it is not. And I would direct you to that film, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when Richard Dreyfuss sees that big mound of mud or whatever the hell that... What was that thing he saw, that mountain?
Devil's Tower, Wyoming?
I don't know what it was, but it was that that big mountain. And suddenly he knew. He knew what he had to do. He saw that mountain, and he knew.
Well, what has that got to do with Four Loko, man? We're talking here about... You know, you're telling me that you drink alcohol and you're fine.
Phil, first of all, I want to tell you, every time I sit down with a student, I've usually had a drink. This is what's not unusual. I've always had a drink. People tell me I shouldn't have had alcohol. I have a drink all the time. I always love my Johnny Walker Blue, and I have myself a little bit of Johnny Blue and a water back. And I sit down with my students, and they ain't never been a problem until I had this Four Loko, and I felt godlike. Now, why don't someone listen to me?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. With Professor Emery Clayton. Barbara in Henderson, Nevada, listening to us on KDON. Go ahead, Barbara. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. Dr. Clayton, I've been listening to you and what you've said about the students at your school. If these students are supposedly college age and they do not have the self-control to not drink an alcoholic drink that is not good and is causing them trouble, well, then they need to leave that school and go back and learn some self-control. There is no reason that they're getting in trouble like they are if they had some self-control. And
they leave the school? They should get rid of the Four Loko. They don't have to leave the school. That is going to...
They need to leave the school and go learn some self-control. And go learn how to be adults to take care of themselves. Any adult makes the decision whether or not they're going to have a drink. And if they can't control themselves, they got no business being out of the house away from their mother and father.
I'll ask the lady a question, Phil.
Go ahead.
And this is going to tell me a lot. Ma'am, do you drink?
No, not at all. No,
Then you don't know what you're talking about.
I haven't drank in a while.
All right, if you drink every once in a while, then I ask you this. Have you ever had a Four Loko? No.
No, I never have.
No, I don't think that you don't know what you're talking about. Because Four Loko has got caffeine in it. Four Loko not only has alcohol, it's got caffeine and inspires a sense of power. Have you ever felt powerful beyond, like, it scared you? That's how powerful you felt?
I feel powerful in that I'm in control of myself and my surroundings most of the time. I take care of myself and I take care of my surroundings. And the fact that I've never heard of such a thing. I don't know what kind of school you have there. But if I went to see a teacher to have him talk to me about my grades or about my classes and he was sitting there drinking, I would get up and leave the room.
I drink before I have the meeting. I have Johnny Blue and a water back, and then I go in and have the meeting. The only way you'd know that I've been drinking is you might smell it on my breath, but I'm not drinking in front of you. All right? Now, I would do that. Now, I had a Four Loko, and I felt like I could control the earth and all life on it. Have you ever felt that way?
I felt the way I've wanted to feel. I've been drunk before at appropriate time, like New Year's Eve, when I'm in a hotel, and then I go up and go to bed.
Or you go up and if you're with your husband.
Yes, with my husband.
You're not going right to bed.
Let's not ask her any more questions about that, okay?
All right.
Not
old enough
to
stay away from a drink, they do not belong in college.
But I'm asking you, have you ever been drunk enough that you felt like you could control all life on Earth?
You've asked the lady that question. She said what she feels like drunk. And I have to tell you, Professor, feeling like you can control all life on Earth sounds like a manic episode.
Oh, will you get a load of Dr. David Viscott back from the grave? I'm not a psychologist, and neither are you, Mr. Henry. I'm telling you, that's how Four Loko made me feel for the first time in my life. Even when I was in the French Foreign Legion, I didn't feel that powerful, and I could have used some of that. I could have used
well,
a little of that during the Gulf War.
As far as wanting to get rid of this drink, you know, if enough people don't drink it, it will go away.
Everybody
if nobody drinks it, it'll just go away. You don't need to have the government sue them or take any action. That's what people boycott it.
Here's how it can go away. We make it illegal. There, it goes away. Okay.
No, you don't need the government
she's talking
to make
about
it illegal.
Yeah.
Have
yes,
self-control. It'll go away by itself if no one buys it.
Barbara, if you've ever had a Four Loko, you have no self-control because it makes you feel as if you could control life on Earth. Man, why doesn't that...
All right, thank you very much, Barbara.
Let me talk to the lady.
No! Thank you very much, Barbara. 877-876-PHIL, and here is Jason on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I feel like most of the callers haven't experienced drinking the Four Loko, and I feel that as a person with experience with the drink, it seems to me like your whole experience, Professor, about feeling godlike and all this, I mean,
yes.
you basically explained to me you were drunk. I mean, have you ever been drunk before that? Because I've been drunk off the Four Loko.
Are you kidding? I was in the French Foreign Legion.
I've been drunk
I was in the French
beer.
Foreign Legion.
I don't
drunk.
See what the difference is.
I've been drunk in some of the biggest cities of the world. I've been drunk.
I don't want to hear about the French Legion stuff, okay? You might have drank 10 barrels of whatever a day.
Why? Because I was in it and you weren't? That's why you don't want to hear about it.
No one cares.
Oh, well, forget about it, man.
You're changing the subject. No one cares about the French Legion stuff.
Listen, man. What I'm saying is, French
Legion. You're using everything as an excuse. Feeling godlike, crazy, all this, you know.
Yeah.
You're drunk.
Right.
You're a drunk. You admitted you drink before you see all the kids. I mean, how ridiculous is that? As a professor.
I'm not drunk. But that's the first time I ever got drunk. I drink Johnny Blue in a water back, and I'm not drunk. I sit there, I talk to the students about their grades. I tell them
you drank two Four Lokos. Why didn't you experiment with one Four Loko, a little more appropriate? I mean, you don't drink the whole bottle of the other stuff.
What are you talking about? I drink me... What? What do you mean?
Well, how many Four Lokos did you drink?
I drank two.
All right, that's like two bottles of wine.
Right.
Look, I know what a bottle... Listen to you. Boy, I love it. How old are you, young man? This young
I'm
man,
19 years drunk. Old.
Oh, well, get a load of you. A real seasoned drinker you are.
Well, I mean, this is a topic. It's about kids my age in college. Why not have somebody call with experience with
it? I've spilt more than you drunk.
Oh, that line is so old.
It's still pretty good. And I'd say to this young man the following thing. If you drink Four Loko, the day is going to come when you have a manic episode and you feel as if you can walk into traffic and stop all those cars.
Well,
does it happen to me?
If you have a lot of anything, say I have a whole bottle of vodka, I'm going to feel the same way. I don't see I think you're a moron. This how is Four Loko, this godlike thing. I mean, it's alcohol in juice with some caffeine in it.
Are you sure you drink a Four Loko? Are you sure you drank a Four Loko? That's what I want to find out.
Yes, I have. I'm drinking many Four Loko.
And Jason, the Four Loko that you drank is the fruit punch one, right?
Yeah, that's what I had.
You had a fruit punch?
Yeah, well, whatever I had, had that fruit punch in it. And this kid is trying to pretend like when he drank himself a Four Loko.
I've had the lemonade Four Loko, I've had the grape Four Loko, the fruit punch. They're all the same thing. They have
the
same content.
Grape Four Loko. You black?
Flavor.
Because you sound like a mayo dipper. You black?
Why would you ask him that?
Because he said he drank the grape Four Loko. Only black people going to drink that. And I can
see
this
guy. You're ridiculous, man. You are ridiculous.
Why is that? Because I express
just
my feelings. About...
I mean, you're just inappropriate. There's no reason to say that. All your stupid little comments tonight, I feel it's outrageous.
What comment did I make? I'm telling you, you're white. We can say that. And you got no business drinking Grape Four Loco. Why are you drinking the grape?
Who cares if he drinks Grape Four Loco?
The lemonades are getting old. I mean, what does that matter?
Because here's the point I'm making. You drink the Four Loco that I drank, and you, I'll tell you right now, you feel as if you are Thor, God of Thunder.
You're right. I'll agree with you. You've never felt that way.
So I don't think you drank a real Four Loko.
Because that will just get you too hammered. Okay?
Ripped. Yeah, it'll get you ripped, and that's what we're talking about.
To over-drinking any other kind of alcohol.
That's what I would ask you, Jason. In other words, the Four Loko, it's got caffeine in it, and the problem with these idiots that are drinking it and getting sick is they're just hammering back too much of this stuff, and they don't know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you're kidding me. You're talking to this kid and you don't believe me?
He's making more sense than you. Absolutely.
Well, I would say to the young man, with all due respect, if you come to see me, if you were in my class, I'd have a Johnny Blue, a water back. You'd never see it. You might smell it on my breath. I'd give you your assignments. I'd talk about your grades. And then I'd kick you out and I'd go back to drinking. Now, I've never been
hammered.
That's
not a lie. That's not equal to the amount of Four Loko you drink. You're acting
like
a very good experiment. Because an experiment should be you using whatever you drink first, the same amount. Then the same amount of Four Loko, and then same amount of water, and see the effect.
Yeah, because you drank your Johnny Walker Blue, and then you had two cans of Four Loko.
Right.
That's different, man. You had way, way more alcohol with the Johnny Walker, or rather with the Four Loko, than you did with the Johnny Walker.
Get a load of you mayo dippers telling me how to drink whiskey. Boy, I love that.
What do you, mayo dipper, huh?
You know, I say it with love. I say it with great love.
All right, Jason, thank you for your call. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Get him off the, I'm getting a headache here. 877-876-PHIL. Get a load of the mayo dippers telling me how to drink Johnny Blue. It started out, we were talking about Four Loko. And whether it ought to be illegal or whether we should just teach people how to drink alcohol more responsibly. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Get a load of the mayo dipper.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget to listen to this show again. If you want to hear our visit with Professor Emery Clayton again, you can download the show tomorrow at philhendryshow.com. You can download it to your iPod or whatever you download things to. You can also listen to a mini podcast of the show tonight by going over to our website or to iTunes. And classic Phils are available. Those are of our archive material. But tomorrow, and if you want to see the video cast again, you can go tomorrow and take a look at it on demand. It's all there at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Now, this is a very interesting. I've got Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman next hour in our news hour. Okay, guys, you can. But I want you to think about this, okay?
Right.
This is interesting to me. This is Oksana Grigorieva. This is the woman that Mel Gibson was living with and fathered a child with. And she says that she, she's talking to Larry King, and that's all well and good, and we have some of that, and we'll play it for you. But the judge had ordered her not to speak with the press. Now, that's a judge's order, and you can call me a real square, and I am, because Phil Hendry is, at the end of the day, I'm a real square ass. I mean, I'm just one of these cats. If the judge tells me or the cop tells me, and I, yes, sir, I do, you know, I do what I do what I'm told to do by law. When the law says, here's the law, Phil, okay, you know, maybe that makes me dumb. Maybe I, I'm sure, although I can't say for sure, but I'm sure that I have within me the ability to do the right thing, even if the law does not allow me to do that. So I would, you know, if I had to break the law someday to do something good or right or just or moral, I'm hopeful that I would do that. But I figure in my country, America, the law, anyway, is a just law. I don't know about people. I ain't vouching for people, but I believe in the law. So when a judge said to me, You don't talk. You understand? Yes, sir. It's called a gag order. You got that right, Mr. Henry? Yes, sir, I do. Now, a violation of a gag order could include a prison stint from 1 hour to a few days, depending upon the severity of the violation, or a monetary fine against the lawyer or whoever violated the order. Now, I'm assuming that Ms. Grigoriva knows this. Her attorney told her this. She said, I don't care. I'm going to violate this gag order. Why? She feels she needs to get out in front in terms of the publicity. She feels like she needs to, she's got something to say that is important or vital. And why is it important or vital? Is it because it would save her life? Has it got to do with money? I don't know what it's got to do with, but it bothers me. It bothers me. Maybe nobody else, but it bothers me. Nonetheless, defying a judge's order not to speak with the press, Grigoriva taped an interview with Larry King, set to air on U.S. televisions on Wednesday night. Now, having said that I don't like her violating the court order, I'm certainly going to play the audio from the interview. Do I look that dumb? In an interview with Larry King, which airs in full tomorrow night, that would be tonight, by the way, Oksana Grigoriva claims she was assaulted by Mel Gibson.
January 6th,
this year,
the beating took place. Mel actually assaulted me whilst I was holding the baby in my arms. And
at whose house? Your house?
That was his house. Well, our house at that point. And I ran into my son's bedroom and told him to hide because Mel is crazy. You know, he's getting really violent. So my son was getting ready for bed, and he jumped around the bed, kind of behind the bed. And I was standing in the middle of the room with the baby, like you know, mother protecting her cubs. And I was standing in the middle of the room holding the baby as Mel proceeded into the room and
struck you.
Struck me twice in the mouth.
In front of your boy?
In front of my boy.
Now, here is Grigoriva. She's asked why she taped the phone calls with Gibson.
I started taping it around 11 o'clock because I thought, I'm actually not going to live through the night. And
he's going to come over and kill you.
Yes, that's what he said in those tapes. If you heard them without any interruption,
more, yeah.
Without any...
They were edited,
living.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I have... non-edited, and it's pretty frightening, and it's completely unforgivable.
So you were taping him in the thought that you'd be killed, and you wanted the world to hear this?
I wanted my mother to be able to prove that if I'm dead, that this is who did it.
So, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next hour. Gibson has stated in a legal filing he slapped his ex-girlfriend once with an open hand, but not with a closed fist, as she alleged. However, Grigoriva told Larry King that was not the case. He wasn't drunk. He hit me and choked me in front of my son and then brandished the gun at me. I left him on the 6th of January, she said. The following morning, he was already apologetic and asking for a chance for us to be together. She should have taped that. Seriously, that would have shown what a real psycho the guy is. He told me he would be cured, he'll be treated, and he'll be evaluated, all those things. And she said, adding, I covered up for him. I covered up what happened. Celebrity website TMZ.com has obtained a written declaration by Dr. Arthur Gordon saying he saw Grigoriva on January the 8th. According to Dr. Gordon, Grigoriva told him she was hit in the head the day before and that since that time she'd been suffering from nausea, headaches, and dizziness, as well as aches all over. Gordon added that while Grigoriva did not identify who attacked her, she did say it was the same person who broke her front teeth. Now, there's nothing in here, unless I'm missing it, as to why she's decided to violate the court order. But we'll try to figure that out. We come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that here on the world-famous Phil Henry. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman join me in our news hour. And an ambulance has denied access to an injured student on a newly remodeled football field. That's ahead, too. 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Henry.
It's strange when someone comes in and congratulates.
Well, the child's house needs to come first.
I think that's the right thing to do.
My daughter's reaction.
She's definitely a tramp.
Yeah. World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Well, in fact, we know what we're doing on this show. And that is, you know, I hate to say it, but that's refreshing. I think that's a refreshing change, don't you? You're actually listening to a radio show. We know exactly what the hell it is we're doing. 877-876-PHIL. There's some of these guys and gals, you know.
Look, they try to be, they aren't even sure.
Right, well said, bud. They try to be, they're not even sure. We know exactly what the hell we're doing. We know exactly what it is that we're saying. We know exactly why we say what we say. We can back up everything that we say. We never have to apologize for it. You notice these people that apologize all the time, Robert?
Now, by one guy, what was that guy's name?
Don Imus?
Yeah, Don Imus had apologized, and another guy, I don't know.
There's a guy had apologized because he talked about Obama or something.
What are you talking about, man? I mean, you two guys, you in half sentences.
The one guy had apologized about something.
There's always cats that are having to apologize. They're always, oh, I'm sorry I said this. I'm sorry I said that. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have said that. And we had to suspend this guy for this, and we had to suspend this guy for that. You don't have to hear that on our, we know why we say what we say, and we don't apologize for anything. You see, the reason why some of these people got to apologize for the stuff they say is they don't know why they said it in the first place, the stupid bastards. They're sitting there on a microphone that's hot, going out over God knows how many square thousands of miles, talking to I don't know how many millions of people, and these jackasses say stuff they don't know what they're talking about. With all due respect to Don Imus, he's a very, very funny guy, and he's a longtime pro. He should have known better. But I'm not going to beat up Don Imus. He's recuperated himself. But some of these guys, you know, oh, I'm really sorry that I did what I did and I said what I said. The hell with that. We're not apologizing for anything. Then there are people that say stupid stuff, and it's stupid, and they should apologize, and they don't because they don't want to look like they're punks, you know.
Yeah, I can name a couple of people like that. They say the most racist stuff, and they should apologize and go, I'm going to stand by that. Well, are you a racist? No, but I'm standing by it.
Yeah, well, I know who you're talking about there. No, we don't do that on this show. Now, they may not like some of the stuff that's said, and they may say, you should apologize, to which I will always say, no, I'm not. Why would I apologize for saying something I meant to say? Well, didn't you know that it was, oh, I knew that it was going to offend some people, but it offended the exact people that I wanted to offend, and it pissed off the right people here, and it made the right people happy, and I may see, I know my audience well enough to know, here's the people that are going to laugh, here are the people over here that are going to scratch their you-know-what and go, I don't know what he's doing. Here are the people that are going to be pissed, and here are the people that are going to be, like, clueless. All of those people I'm very aware of, I know them intimately, and all of them react the way I want them to. So I don't have to ever apologize to them.
What about the people what is, like, offended, though?
I'm not apologizing to them.
Yeah, but they were offended.
So what? That's the point. I wanted them to be. Oh, I'm sorry I offended you. I meant to offend you. See? But that's not a lot of people. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to piss people off. All right, 877-876-PHIL. So Oksana Grigoreva, and I keep butchering her name, not because I want to. It's just Oksana Grigoreva. Violates a court order to speak with Larry King. And we're going to talk about that or finish up our conversation in a moment on that. A new report says the current foreclosure crisis could destabilize the American financial system, which basically means the world financial system. And Army Sergeant Junta gets the Medal of Honor. This is a young man who got the Congressional Medal of Honor, and he's lived to tell about it. I mean, he received the award at the White House yesterday, the first living recipient of the Medal of Honor in 40 years. 40 years, because it's generally a medal that is given posthumously. And the reason why is because the Medal of Honor is given for acts above and beyond the call of duty. And that means that these are things that the individual does that you could never be ordered to do. No one would ever order you to go out and throw yourself on a hand grenade or go out and save three comrades in the face of enemy fire, which is what Sergeant Junta attempted to do in Afghanistan. They can't order you to do that. You do it because it is something that is above and beyond the call of duty. And as the result, generally, the people who engage in that kind of act die in the process, and they receive the Medal of Honor posthumously. But Sergeant Salvatore Junta, who rushed into enemy fire and pulled three wounded soldiers to safety during a harrowing battle in Afghanistan in 2007, became the first living soldier since the Vietnam War to be awarded the Medal of Honor. And there was a ceremony there at the White House. And this is President Barack Obama awarding Army Sergeant Salvatore Junta the Medal of Honor.
Today, therefore, marks the first time in nearly 40 years that the recipient of the Medal of Honor for an ongoing conflict has been able to come to the White House and accept this recognition in person. It is my privilege to present our nation's highest military decoration, the Medal of Honor, to a soldier as humble as he is heroic, Staff Sergeant Salvatore A. Junta.
In an interview on PBS, Sergeant Junta's asked if he's been able to accept the notion that he's considered a hero.
I know heroes. I've met heroes. I've met some of the bravest people in the entire world, and I've had the privilege to serve with them. And when someone comes and says, you know, hey, you know, you're the man, congratulations, you're an American hero, I just take it in stride, and I think about all my heroes and all the people I look up to and all the people who have given so much and taught me so much.
Here he is talking about the real heroes, the troops who died in the firefight in Afghanistan, from which he garnered the Medal of Honor.
It's strange when someone comes and congratulates me, and I have to, of course, okay, this is very good, this is very positive, this is for a lot of things, and it brings back instantly the memory of Specialist Hugo Mendoza, Sergeant Joshua Brennan, and think, you know, that's who needs to be congratulated, and they're not here to take this congratulations. They gave every single one of their tomorrows, and I'm the one that they're going to pat on the back and thank and give a hug. It's difficult sometimes.
So here is what happened. On October the 25th of 2007, Junta's platoon was ambushed by Taliban insurgents in the Korangal Valley of Afghanistan's Kunar province. Two soldiers were immediately injured. Then a third soldier was struck. According to the certificate, quote, Sergeant Junta charged headlong into the wall of bullets to pull him to safety behind what little cover there was. Junta was struck by two bullets himself, but he quickly recovered. Junta and others on his team mounted a counterattack, eventually reaching another injured soldier. Junta continued pressing ahead in search of Sergeant Joshua C. Brennan, the third wounded soldier, and one of Junta's best friends. He crested a hill alone with no cover, but the dust kicked up by the storm of bullets still biting into the ground. Junta found two insurgents attempting to carry Brennan away. He opened fire on the insurgents, killing one and wounding the other. Even as bullets impacted all around him, he grabbed his friend by the vest and dragged him to cover. For nearly half an hour, he worked to stop the bleeding and to help his friend breathe until help arrived. Brennan was one of the two soldiers, though, who died on that day. Obama told Junta that his courage prevented the capture of an American soldier and brought that soldier back to his family. That was Sergeant Brennan, who is the Taliban were attempting to abduct, and Junta killed and wounded these Taliban and got the young man, although the sergeant died. So that's the award. Sergeant Junta was raised in Cedar Rapids and in Hiawatha, Iowa. He was also awarded the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart, among other awards. He's a member of Company B, 2nd Battalion Airborne, 503rd Infantry Regiment, stationed in Vincenza, Italy. What?
What is that? What is that?
Yeah, what's that mean?
What does what mean?
Well, in fact, he was in a 500 and in a what?
You mean the unit he was in?
Yeah, what did it mean? He was in Company B, but what?
Company B, 2nd Battalion, 503rd Infantry Regiment.
Which one is which?
I don't know, man. That's what he's in.
Is that the Marines?
No, that's the Army.
That sounds more like the Marines to me.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds like Marines because of the airborne and everything.
That's the Army. What do you mean sounds like the Marines? That's the Army, okay?
But what about Company B?
What about Company B? What is it with you guys, man? I don't understand. It's what he's in, okay?
I don't. You got to tell what a guy's doing. Is that the Army?
Yes, it's the Army.
Well, why don't they say it?
Dude, I don't know why they don't say it, man, but you ought to be able to figure it out.
It says the guy's in the 2nd Battalion. What's that?
That's the Army. The 2nd Battalion of the Army, Company B, 503rd Infantry Regiment, Airborne. Okay?
What about that Airborne you had?
The airborne that I have, the stuff I take on the airplane?
Yeah.
That's vitamin C, you jackass. Get out of here.
They don't tell you.
Look, man, here's a great idea. If you want to find out about all of this, go online and look it up, okay? I'm just giving the basics here. what about the airborne I take on the airplane? So that's a hell of a story, isn't it? And if you want to know more about our Medal of Honor recipients, go to the Medal of Honor page. The Congressional Medal of Honor page lists every one of the Congressional Medal of Honor recipients. And it goes all the way back to the Civil War, maybe before, I think, when the Congressional Medal of Honor was originally awarded, I think was the Civil War. And there was a period there where they were giving out so many of them in the 19th century that sometime around the turn of the 20th century, I guess it was at that time called the War Department, the Department of Defense, said, we got to get some standards for this thing. You know, we're giving it out to anybody and everyone. So they finally did. And they, as the result, took the Medal of Honor back from some people who had not really, it wasn't that they were bad soldiers, but they had not, the standard that they established for the Medal of Honor was very, very high standard, going above and beyond the call of duty. So in that respect, they sort of refined the requirement. It is the highest medal given to a soldier. And so that's that. So you can go and check that out on the Medal of Honor page. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and of course, philhenryshow.com. The Thanksgiving travel this year is going to be, quote, a nightmare, and Glee is at the top of this week's best-selling iTunes singles. Why are we doing that story? Because our producer, Jason Rantz, is a big Glee fan. By the way, the first award for the Medal of Honor was made March 25th, 1863, so it was the Civil War. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I just did this stupid story. Why would I want to go back to this this Daily Mail story on Oksana Grigoreva? And this is the reason I just was talking to Jason Rantz, our producer. I said, first of all, the Daily Mail is the story that we're drawing this information from because they were very comprehensive in describing the interview with Larry King. Okay, that's fine. But the Larry King interview, I got it on tape. We heard two cuts from it. I guess you're going to hear the rest tonight. And the rest of your story, Daily Mail, is, you know, I can wipe with it. That's about all the good it does me. You got nothing in here, man. And not only that, whoever your reporter is out here in Los Angeles, they would know. I think they know what a gag order is, but I don't think they know it has anything to do with a judge or a court. There's no gag order. I'm sitting there reading about a gag order that Oksana Grigoreva's violating. She's not violating any gag order. There ain't no gag order, you dumb limey.
They ought to be able to write better.
Yeah, no kidding. They ought to be able to write better. You know, and for the rest of you, you know, TMZ and the rest of you guys, I don't know what you're doing, man, but I got to go to a British newspaper to get detail about this because you guys are thumbing it. And I got to read some dumbass Brit reporter talking to me about a gag order. He wouldn't know. The only thing he knows about, well, I shouldn't say, but
yeah.
877-876-PHIL. New Yorkers heading over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving. We'll have a lot more company on the roads this season. AAA is projecting that 42.2 million merrymakers will travel at least 50 miles between Wednesday, November 24th, and Sunday, November the 28th. Also, AAA says it's already looking like there will be more Christmas season travelers, a prospect that already has visions of dollar bills dancing in the heads of happy travel agents. That's good. The anticipated bump in Thanksgiving motorists has got as much to do with the slowly improving economy as the tug of heartstrings, says the AAA. All right. That's dull. Plus, it's a story from New York. I'm going to begin to vet how, if I see, I'm going to go through the news every day. If I see any foreign source for a news story, I'm going to throw it in the garbage. You understand me, bud?
Why?
If I see a foreign source for an American story, it's going to go into the garbage. Why? Because an American newspaper or an American press source would have the story much better than some damn Brit who's over here with his thumb parked, and he wouldn't know a gag order from, you know, 40 cents a week, okay? That's number one. Number two, if I'm doing a national story about travel, and I see that it is about New York in particular, with all due respect to my New York listeners, I'm talking about national travel, I'm going to throw that in the garbage too. I don't care about a story that leads off with New Yorkers this or Wisconsin that or Californians that. Now, unfortunately, I have to go through this on the air because I'm teaching you how to pull news. So I'm going to make it easy. The next time I come in here and I sit down and I'm doing a national radio show, which is what I'm doing, and I see some limey newspaper talking to me about something that's happening in L.A., I'm going to wipe with it and throw it out the door. And then I see a story about a national trend in travel and Thanksgiving and grandma, and I see that it's referring to New York State. I'm going to throw that out, and we're going to get our act together here, or we're going to die trying.
Yeah, man, but I don't know what you're talking about. When you say you want to have a news story, you want this story, that story. And then
I want that story, but I want you guys to pull it from the right source.
Yeah, what difference does it make?
I just got done telling you, man. I got some British newspaper talking to me about Mel Gibson over here and Oksana Grigoryeva. These guys are right down the street in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
And they're talking about gag orders? They don't have no gag order. This is some limey sitting in a hotel over there getting hammered on a company dime. He ain't writing the story. Then I'm coming up with this Thanksgiving travel thing, and it's about, and you're talking about New York State. Read these things before you guys pull them, okay? You guys spend so much time pulling stuff.
Yeah, you do.
But shut up. Deputies in Fresno armed. Wow, that was a number seven, man. All right, here is a story that becomes more maddening as with each passing day. And it's the foreclosure crisis. You know, it's really interesting to hear people say, well, if you'd pay your mortgage. Let me explain something once again, because it takes a long time. The mortgage relief was supposed to come to people who had been paying their mortgage. They had been paying their mortgage. But because of the banks suddenly freezing credit, businesses suddenly laying people off, people suddenly not having jobs and not having enough money to make their mortgage payments, mortgage relief was on the way because we recognized that the banks and the financial sector had somehow screwed the pooch. That's right. The banks and the financial sector had somehow been sitting around twaddling their twiddles while Rome burned. And the next thing you know, the world is on the brink of collapse and we got to bail them out with money, right? So we say we're going to get a mortgage modification program going so that people are not losing their homes. Now, here's the latest, and this is just the robo-signing scandal. Robo-signing. What does that mean? Automatic signing. Don't check into the background of the people you're lending money to. Don't check into the documentation of whether they have income enough and this and that. Just robo-sign. Just automatically sign. Sign, 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 sign. So you don't know what these mortgages are worth. And they said that this may just be the tip of the iceberg, that there may be the servicing of foreclosures could obscure and possibly evolve into troubles on a global scale, that we are not out of the woods on this thing. And it pisses me off because the banks continue with an arrogance that is unheard of in the history of man on this earth. These bastards and these lenders and all of the rest of them who got the financial sector spinning in a certain direction so they could make their money and they could get the people on the dotted line. And they could run off and have a good time with their bonus and their business and this and that. Now we find out that this paper isn't worth anything, and we still haven't gotten to the bottom of it. There's a 127-page report that was issued today by the government. In essence, banks may be unable to prove that they own the mortgage loans they claim to own. You ready for that? Banks may be unable to prove they own the mortgage loans they claim to own. So what are they saying? You jackasses had better stop or slow down with your foreclosures until you can prove you own the house. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Mm-hmm.
broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I promise I won't belabor it. I just will say the government panel says, you say, do anything you want. Do anything you want. Believe anything you want. Believe anything you want. Believe it's all this guy's fault. I don't care. But here's the bottom line is this, folks. The government panel is reporting that we still don't know the extent of this lousy paper that these mortgages were written on, okay? We still don't know the extent, the depth of this toxic situation. And that there is still a threat to the global economy. And that these banks that are foreclosing on people, they don't have any more instinct or knowledge as to what they own than the man on the moon. The paper they've got could very well be worthless. It may not indicate they own the house at all. Maybe there's some other guy that owns the house. You remember all of these banks were packaging and they were wrapping these bundling these loans and selling them off. To who? A 127-page report issued today, in essence, banks may be unable to prove that they own the mortgage loans they claim to own. Now, let me ask you people in the banking business, just how far down the toilet do you want to take this country and the world in your effort to be a bank? In your effort to be official and officious? And the obnoxious bastards that you have been? The unthinking, unfeeling, auto jackballs that you are? Rude as hell? Stupid? That doesn't even begin to cover it. I'd even go so far as to call you thieving. I don't think there's a word invented for what you people have done. Not a word. And you go about business as if this is just, we didn't do anything. That was that division. And I'm telling you, why you people are not in a prison cell, I have no idea. But I can only hope and pray. Only hope and pray that when all of this is done, amid the tussle of lawsuits over individual foreclosures, I hope you get your asses so sued that you are worthless at the end of this process. Several employees or contractors for the banks testified, listen to this, that they signed thousands of foreclosure documents without knowing any of the facts they were declaring to be true. In some cases, they backdated documents.
Being all upset for?
What are you talking about, bud? How many times have I told you? I know people that are losing their homes, okay?
Yeah, it's serious, man. You know.
Someday you're going to own a house. And you know what? You know why you're lucky?
Why?
Because when you finally own a house, this stuff will be over. The world will have learned a lesson. America will have learned a lesson. And a whole new generation of banking executives and banking professionals will have taken the place of this generation of scum. And we will begin to return to that time when banks were all about funding and helping to grow communities. They were all about making the base of a community strong, business and homes.
Kind of like that guy on that show that you like?
What show that I like?
You know, the guy, what's the guy's name? George Murphy.
Who's George Murphy?
Yeah, the guy, George Murphy, that... In Wonderful Life.
George Bailey.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like George Bailey. Troubled home ownership and a massive backlog of foreclosures around the country remain among the biggest factors holding back the economic recovery. And they're a painful legacy of the mortgage meltdown that cascaded into financial catastrophe, slamming investors and institutions around the world that had tied their fortunes to securities based on U.S. home mortgages. What a con job we pulled on the world. The Justice Department and authorities in all 50 states are investigating possible improprieties by the banks, while the financial industry maintains it was just a handful of employees who failed to follow proper procedures and that the underlying facts in each foreclosure was correct. Well, you know what? Then prove it. I'm telling you right now, they better, too. I don't think any lawsuit, I don't think there is a judge in this country... I don't think there's a judge in this country that should allow this to stand until they walk into a courtroom and they prove it, man. They maintain that a handful of employees, well, now ain't that just so special. Those of us who lived through the Watergate era, we heard that one too. Once they get their paperwork in order, they argue, mass foreclosures can proceed. Oh, well, once they get their paperwork in order? What paperwork are they? I'll tell you what paperwork you need to get in order. Proving that you own the houses that you're going to foreclose on. There's some paperwork for you to get in order. Go ahead, get that in order. I dare you. How do you get in order proof that you own a house that the loan for which you bundled off and sold to somebody else? You sold it to so many guys. Man, it's down the road 85 miles. Some cat, some dude that's watering a mule in Mongolia. That's who owns the loan.
That probably is right, man. And by the time they got done selling it, man, it probably owned by one of them guys.
Probably got a water well. He's investing in a water well in American real estate.
I'm telling you. By the time Bank of America and Chase figure out who owns half these houses that they think they own, they're going to find out that Rasputin the Mad Monk holds the paper on all of them. I'm telling you, you got some gall. The American Securitization Forum, a trade group for the industry that packages mortgages into traceable bonds. There's a flat. You know what? There's a unique thought. Traceable. Produced a study this week finding the legal worries to be overblown. As long as the contract between borrower and lender, the mortgage note, is transferred in any deal, questions about the mortgage itself shouldn't be a problem, the ASF said. Yeah, as long as. The long-standing and consistently applied rule in the United States is that the mortgage follows the note. When a mortgage note is transferred in connection with a securitization, ownership of the mortgage automatically follows and is transferred to the mortgage note transferee. Great. Let's see the note, man, and don't give me this bullcrap about, well, it must have been transferred because the mortgage was. No. Uh-uh. No, we ain't playing that, man. We already got your employees signing documents that they don't even read. We got your employees admitting to the fact that they signed documents that they backdated. So they already got caught with their hand in the cookie jar here, man. So don't give me that stuff about how, well, we're not assuming anything anymore. You guys are on the hot seat. And I'm telling you, you know, in other words, we're going to hold you cats in the bank to the same standard that you hold people that you lent money to, okay? We're going to turn the Bunsen burner under your asses up to broil. And guess what? If you guys can't come through with the right paper, if we find out that thus and so wasn't, I hope there's a jail cell for you. I'm telling you.
Yeah, they're going to put a big guy like that in jail. Are you crazy, man?
They're never going to do that.
Yeah? You think so, huh? They put plenty of guys from Wall Street in the joint. I'd like to see them start locking up some of these bankers. I've seen enough Wall Street guys. I want to see guys from the local bank go to prison. They think they're untouchable, these guys. They think that the only cats that the Federals want are these slobs on Wall Street. Because the Bernie Madoffs and this and the that, those guys are, you know, they make good copy. I'll tell you what makes good copy. They start slamming some of these bank presidents in prison. I'd love that.
Yeah, I'm never going to do it, man, because they got too much of a rep that the average people like.
Oh, my ass. They got a rep the average people like. When you find out what these guys have been doing to the average guy, the average people will be screaming for their necks. The panel called the industry arguments the best-case scenario, but warned that the worst-case scenario, one articulated by academics and homeowner advocates, is considerably grimmer. The risk stems from the possibility the rapid growth of mortgage securitization outpaced the ability of the legal and financial system, listen to this, outpaced the ability of the legal and financial system to track mortgage loan ownership. As the mortgage model changed from one in which prospective homeowners borrowed from and paid back a single bank to one where a mortgage loan can be resold dozens of times and folded into a bond packaging many mortgages, tracking ownership became more complicated. I'll tell you, to me, the only solution is, unless you got the proof, the note, as they say, the actual ownership of the mortgage, then I'm telling you, you ain't foreclosing on nothing. And if you try, the only guy the sheriff is, you know, these guys, they send the sheriff out there, you know that?
Yeah, they just send him out to throw the guy out, which they ought to do.
No, they ain't ought to do that. No, they ain't.
Why not?
Because they don't know whether they own that house or not. That's what this whole story's about, okay? So when they send a sheriff out there, they ought to send a sheriff back to the bank and arrest the president of the bank. Hi. Did you throw those people out? No, but I'm arresting you.
I don't understand.
Well, you will. No, I didn't throw anybody out. No, didn't do that. But I am placing you under arrest. You and you and you and you. Just like that movie we saw the other night.
That movie was bitching. What was that called?
That was called High Plains Drifter.
Yeah, what was that?
That was Clint Eastwood. You remember that, when that one scene?
Yeah, he's going, you and you and you. The Lago Volunteers. And you and you.
Yeah. We're going to form the Lago Volunteers. You're in it, and you and you and you. All of you people out there.
You're going to do it all on bankers.
Right. Send the sheriff in there. You're under arrest, and you and you and you. All right. So that's where that is, man. We got one other story of what we call high value. Ronnie Chasen, a top Hollywood publicist. This is a horror. You know what? I don't even want to read this, man. It's too much of a bummer. And this is kind of a bummer, but it's sort of cool, too. No, it isn't cool either. I'm gonna have to hold off on these bummer stories, guys. Let me tell you what. The top 10 selling singles and albums sold on Apple Incorporated's iTunes. Number one, Teenage Dream, Glee Cast, featuring Darren Criss. We Are Who We Are, Firework, Katy Perry, Raise Your Glass, Pink. The Time, Dirty Bit, that's Black Eyed Peas. What's My Name, Rihanna and Drake, Like a G6, The Castorax. Only Girl in the World, Rihanna. Number 9, Just a Dream, Nelly. And number 10, Bottoms Up with Trey Songz. So those are the top 10 singles on iTunes. The top albums, Man on the Moon 2, The Legend of Mr. Rager, that's Kid Cudi, Speak Now, Taylor Swift, The Lady Killer, My Kind of Party, Jason Aldean, Sigh No More, Mumford & Sons, and AB3, Alter Bridge. Alter Bridge out with a new album, huh? I got to get that one because I like those guys.
What, are you a Christian or something?
No, I ain't a Christian. I just... All right, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Google's new cell phone tries to replace credit cards, but would you trust paying for products using your cell phone? We may do that story, we may not. An ambulance denied access to an injured player on a newly remodeled football field at a high school. You can't have an ambulance driving out on a newly remodeled football field, even if the kid's head is rolling off of his neck. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, it's football season, you know, and high school football season, as well as every other kind of football season. A high school principal in San Jose is under fire for refusing to let an ambulance drive onto a football field to help an injured player. Now, why did this ambulance not get permission to drive onto the football field to help the injured player? Well, it was a brand-new football field. 14-year-old... Keanu Gallardo, excuse me, 14-year-old Keanu Gallardo's mother is waiting for an apology after her son suffered a concussion during a game at Del Mar High on October the 29th. This is in Northern California. After a 911 call was placed and an ambulance arrived, Gallardo had to lay and wait for emergency workers to haul a gurney 75 yards downfield because the principal, Liz Seabury, says she was following district orders banning motorized vehicles on the school's recently remodeled football field. It's not known if the district has taken any action against the principal or if it plans to. Tuesday morning, a district spokesperson said they had no comment whatsoever because the situation is undergoing an investigation and we got to figure out whether we got jack balls working for us or what we're doing for a living over here, man. We might as well close this whole thing up, man, and turn it into a banana stand or something. Hi, I'm the principal of the school. Let me just be very clear here. There are some stories that are just so obvious. You want to weep. You want to cry. You don't know what you want to do.
That's just like, what's his name? Marlon Brando.
Right. I wanted to cry.
Yeah, do that impression.
Okay, this is Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now. I wanted to cry. I wanted to tear my teeth out of my head.
Yeah.
It's not that good, man.
I love that, man.
All right, anyway, here is Channel 7 in San Francisco, KGO Television. Asking parents to react to the news that the principal wouldn't allow an ambulance access to the newly remodeled field.
Well, the child's house needs to come first. That's most important. I mean, and to actually hear this coming from you instead of coming from the school is actually disturbing, too.
It makes me very upset. It makes me kind of concerned about my child's safety.
I think that they don't let any ambulance go on any field at any high school games or at any game period. I don't think that she did anything wrong. I don't think it... I work in an emergency room. I don't think it delayed his care at all.
Okay. Well, he's a child. He's not an adult. He is an amateur. He's not a professional. You know as well as I do, professional players get a kind of treatment on the field that is second to none when it comes to the injury to a professional football player. We have neck braces. We have gurneys. We've got an ambulance right there behind the bench. So that you're transporting a player from the middle of the field to the sideline where the ambulance is or where a golf cart is or where other transport is to get that player as rapidly as possible to the medical service that he requires. If it's a hospital or emergency room, an x-ray machine, whatever it is that he needs. You got a young man who's not a professional. He's an amateur. He's a high school student. He's a minor. And he has a concussion. I don't get it, you know. However, maybe what they need is to get a golf cart. Or I'll be honest with you, folks. This is a teacher. This principal, this Liz Seabury, and the people that she works for. These are people that are they're almost sociopathic. And what do I mean by that? Anyone with any sense, anyone with any real sense would understand, you know what, you can take your football field and you could park it up your you-know-what. I'm putting an ambulance on that field or whatever I got to do to get that kid some medical service. That's all there is to it. Well, you're going to be fired. Well, you go right ahead and fire me then. And won't you feel like a jackass man when I go to the media with this on Monday and I say I just got canned for letting an ambulance go on a field to save a kid's life because, well, it was a concussion. It happens all the time in football. It may happen all the time in football, but we're talking about a 16-year-old kid here. You know, that brain is still developing inside that still-developing skull. And I want to make sure that that child has the right amount of medical attention and as quickly as he can get it. And that's the way we play the game at the high school level. Now, if you don't like that...
Well, we're the district, and we just reseeded this field. My goodness gracious golly gee whiz.
You just reseeded the field, did you?
Oh, it's a brand new one. It's just like the one they have at Giant Stadium.
Oh, well, geez, shut my mouth, man. Well, if I'd have known that. This is a kid, man, okay? And you know what? So what's wrong with this person? What's wrong with somebody like that? What is wrong with... I'm telling you, right? What is wrong with... I'm telling you, she wasn't born with a conscience.
Everything you always talk about, people have got to be like Ted Bundy or something.
Yeah, why do you do that? Maybe she's just dumb.
Well, she could be dumb, but she's a principal of a high school, which means that at some point I think she had to have some education. I don't think she's dumb so much as how can you not recognize what your obligation is to your students and to the families of those students, not to your football field. No, don't. He's got a concussion. I'd like to take the ambulance. No. No, no, you better not because we just had it reseated. Well, I mean...
Well, how long did it take him to go down and get him?
I don't know, man. They got to haul the gurney 75 yards downfield. Now, this is a gurney. Now, what does that mean, 75 yards downfield? I'll tell you what it means. First of all, the ambulance could not maneuver in behind the benches. So it was at the end of the stadium, behind the end zone. So that means that there is a very limited amount of space for that ambulance to work in. Either they get on the field, drive down there and get the kid, or they have to keep the ambulance parked there at that end zone. And the kid was injured 75 yards down the field. That's the only access they have.
Why don't they use like a golf cart or something?
Because they ain't got no golf cart, man. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The big concern for these jackasses is because they got a field and they had it reseeded or resodded or re-something. And they're just in love with that field. And they ain't got a golf cart. They don't have no ambulance. They ain't got nothing for love or money, man, for the players. All they got is a nice big fat green field for the kid to get his brains rocked in. Anyway, that's where that's at. Now, here is a very intelligent. Matthew Dean says he feels the blame goes three ways. The principal's an idiot. The emergency responders should have. He says the emergency responders should have overridden there. They should have said, we don't care what you think. We're driving out there. If I'd been driving that ambulance, I would have done it. And I would have loved to see the coach stand there and tell me, hey, you know, you just ripped up my field. Really? I tell you what, why don't we resod it? We can use you to sort of fill in some of the divots. What do you think about that?
Ah, ha, ha. I'll have your job.
Yeah, that's great. Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wigand, and our associate producer and screener Dan Northcraft. PhilHendryShow.com. See you tonight. It's garbage time, bud.
That's right. I got to take it out.
Right.
Phil Hendry.